It's that time of year when holidays are beckoning. One more Sunday, 10 more days, not that I'm counting or anything. Or if you're at school, it comes this week. This week we had Burnside Primary here for their school service. And as teachers and pupils were going out, I was wishing them all a good holiday. And one of the teachers turned and said to Ross Murray, who was standing beside me, "You've got young children too. Aye, you know what that means, don't you?" But I'm sure there's that time when everybody comes and looks for rest. And that's one of the promises in the Bible, rest. In fact, one of the hopes that's built up in the Bible is of a rest for God's people. Over the past few weeks, we have been looking at the book of Joshua, which seems appropriate for a Granger family baptism, as Joshua is intimately involved in the Granger family. But one of the things that we have seen is the theme of that book is God's people coming to live in a land that he had promised them. And the middle section of the book gives details of how that happened. There's lots of bloodshed, there's lots of battles, and all sorts of things happen. And then we come to chapter 21, and we read, "The Lord gave Israel all the land he had promised, he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there." That had been generations before. God had made this promise that there will be a land, and that you will occupy that land. As I say, much of that presents difficulties for us with our 21st century sensibilities. But the important thing in what we're looking at today is that God made a promise, and here, centuries later, that promise is kept. In fact, this is the central part of Joshua, where it's saying, God has kept his promises. What does that look like for each one of us? What does it look like for you? What does it look like for me that God keeps his promises? Well, as I've said, one of the promises is rest. There is rest for God's people. That's it. And it's that fantasy, isn't it, almost? Whenever you've got young children, and you've had so many sleepless nights, and you're thinking, just one night, I want to sleep right through. Or just one day, I want to get my tea in peace. Or just one week, I don't want a major incident with the school, or whatever it happens to be. Rest is something that we hope for, that we look for, that God promises. And in the Bible, he promises rest. In this part of Joshua, we're told that the people were given rest. For years and years, they had been a nomadic people, wandering through a wilderness, and then that had been followed by all sorts of wars and skirmishes. And now God says, mission accomplished, you can have your rest. But then the Bible tells us that that's not the ultimate rest. The ultimate rest isn't just rest from battles, isn't just rest from skirmishes, isn't even rest from school, or rest from routine, or rest from waking babies. In the New Testament, we read that God gives his people rest. The book of Hebrews is kind of a commentary on a lot of the Old Testament. And it says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from this. Now, to our 21st century Scottish ears, Sabbath rest conjures up visions of, don't do this. All the shops are closed. You mustn't have fun at all costs. And whatever you do, don't disturb anybody else. But that's a very different picture from the picture that the Bible paints of what Sabbath rest is. Sabbath rest is positive. wholesome, fun. It's the community all coming together, worshiping God, but being relaxed as they did so. And so the Bible paints this picture of the promise of God being the ultimate Sabbath rest, when the pressures of life are taken away, but they're replaced by worshiping God, by being in His presence, by having the right sense of who God is and who we are in relation to Him. Jesus' promise was, come to me if you're tired and if you've got lots on, and I will give you rest. And He promises that, yes, in this life, but He promises it beyond this life. In the book of Revelation, which kind of points towards the end, we read, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So God promises rest. And as He did so, Joshua then said to the people, well done. Chapter 22 of Joshua is a tricky chapter because it deals with placing some of the tribes of Israel, Israel was split into 12 tribes, in a particular part of the land. And the eastern tribes are being given their particular section of land in this passage that we had read to us earlier. And before they're given their land, Joshua says to them, well done. You've been faithful in the battle. You've done a good job in making sure that we got this far. And as you go to your rest, well done. It's that time of year again when we're coming towards the end of lots of sessions. And so on Friday, as I've mentioned, Burnside Primary had their prize giving. And there were lovely citations read out about the winner of the Citizenship Award, and the winner of the Best Friend Award, and the winner of the just Outstanding Pupil Award. They give it a better title than that, but you know what I mean. And all of those citations were ways of saying, well done. And it's good to hear that, well done. In our church calendar, things kind of slow down now. And so I mentioned at the start that Sunday clubs are coming to an end for the summer. And the folks who lead them aren't here this just now. But we can say to them, well done. You've done a really good job nurturing the kids, looking out for them. And the guild and Regnal are finished. And the folks who lead those, we can say, well done. Those are great communities where people come together. Tuesday morning coffee mornings come to an end, to be replaced by Thursday morning coffee mornings, but you know what I mean. And again, we can say, well done. That's a great place for people to come on a Tuesday morning and feel welcome. And folks have a break from reception duty. And the list can go on and on and on. And that's great that the list can go on and on and on. Because very often as a church, we can highlight what's missing and forget to say, well done. And thank you. Thank you for that hard work. Thank you for the commitment. Thank you for putting yourself out for the sake of others. Thank you for serving the church. And that's what Joshua does as the people go into the land. He says, well done. Good job. Have a rest. You deserve it. And the last Sunday in June seems like a brilliant time to say, well done. Good job. Have a rest. You deserve it. And so Joshua praises the people, but also reminds them of their responsibility. He tells them that when they go into the land, they are still to obey the Lord. They are still to be faithful to Him. And chapter 22 is a tricky chapter because it describes a potential conflict. The eastern tribes, who are the ones who are being given this land, start and build an altar. And the rest of the community gets worried about that, because they think they're building the altar in the wrong place. And one of the instructions from Deuteronomy, which is where all the laws of the Bible are set out, was, the Lord will tell you where to build an altar. And the rest of Israel were worried that these eastern tribes were building an altar in the wrong place. And the reason they were worried was because they saw the danger of taking in the worship of worship patterns of people who didn't worship God. And they were worried, rightly, that that might take them astray. And so there was the danger of a misunderstanding. And the eastern people and the rest of the community were in danger of coming into conflict. And the eastern folks were able to say, the reason we built this altar was we were scared that the River Jordan would become a barrier between us and the rest of the land, and we wouldn't be able to worship God properly. But what was encouraging about that was that both sides of the community, both parts in this discussion, took their faithfulness to God seriously. They took God's promises to them seriously, but they took their responsibility to Him seriously. And so they wanted to be faithful. And so rest doesn't mean switching off faithfulness to God. It doesn't mean that we stop worshiping, that we forget who God is. But rather, rest gives us a greater sense of who He is and our responsibilities towards Him. We're called to be a faithful people. That was the concern of all of the tribes. How will they be faithful? What does that look like for us? Well, faithfulness isn't always about doing. Faithfulness is about being. Being the people God's called us to be. And there are plenty of times that being will tip into doing. But that's not always exclusively the case. Rather, we are called to be. Be people who know that we are forgiven by God. Be people who know that we are followers of Jesus. Be people who know that we have been given promises by God, and a God who keeps those promises. And so, even when we rest, we are called to be faithful. Switching off, downing tools, having a bit of a break, doesn't mean dropping our guard. Doesn't mean that we stop being careful in obedience to God. And so we are called to be faithful. It's appropriate, isn't it, that on the day of a baptism, we think about how God always keeps His promises. And yes, Ewan and Claire made promises, but they made promises in response to the promises that God makes to us, makes to Adam, makes to all our children, makes to all of us, that He will be with us always, that He invites us to come to Him and get rid of the things that weigh us down, and say, Lord, You're big enough to take on my burdens. Give me some rest, and I'll place my burdens on You. And so God invites us, come to Me. If you're tired, if you've got stuff needs forgiving, if you've got stuff that you're worried about, God says, come to Me. And He promises that He won't let us down. God keeps His promises. It's ordinary water, but it's a reminder of the promises of God. And what a privilege it is to live knowing that our God keeps his promises and living out in faithfulness to his promises to us. May God help us to keep those promises through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you that you keep your promises. Thank you for the promise of the ultimate rest in Jesus. We pray that you will help us when we rest and when we are working to be faithful, even as you are faithful. Amen.